Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Surviving the Shift, a show where spirituality meets practicality, with your host, Michelle Arbeau.
Happy Thursday and welcome to Surviving the Shift, a show where spirituality meets practicality. I'm your host, Michelle Arbeau. Tonight we have a fabulous guest. I'm so excited to have him on. He is incredible. He's an incredible person, but he also has an incredible story to share with us tonight. I'll read you a little bit about Chris's background because it's very interesting. So Chris's journey really is full of synchronistic events. Chris Amadeo is our guest. And his journey began about 2.5 years ago when some friends were putting together a fight to save their young son, Christopher, who had an inoperable brain tumor. And his dad, Ed, a guitar teacher, had donated the guitar to a fundraiser for his son. And for some reason, Chris really felt drawn to bid on this guitar. Now, he didn't play at the time. He had no idea how to play guitar, and he was just drawn to it. So fast forward 2 years later, and he's got a fabulous album out, and he's well on his way to, you know, living out his purpose in its entirety. I really feel like this is huge for Chris, and I'm so excited to have him on before Ellen DeGeneres gives him a call. So before I bring Chris out, I'd like to play one of his songs just to set the stage and give you a little taste of what Chris is all about. So this is a song called Move to Compassion from his new album, Homo Luminous.
Life unfolds its mystery just the same. Nothing's as it seems. Till we wake up from the dream. I was standing beside you that day out in the sun, in a garden where a depth of love joined our souls in one. But it's my body that separates.
So that was his fabulous song, Move to Compassion, and I'd like to bring Chris on. Just hold on here.
I'm here.
Are you there? Sorry, Chris.
I'm here. Thanks, Michelle.
A little technical difficulty there. Great to have you on, Chris.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Beautiful song. We're definitely going to listen to more of Chris's work later on in the show, for sure. We have a few songs to preview. So, Chris, tell us a bit about your story, because it's such a fabulous story. I just love it. Take us from the beginning and tell us about your journey and how it's, you know, the past several years, what it's been like for you, spiritually speaking.
I think just to kind of set the tone, for the last 21 years, I've been in private practice as a rolfer, which is a different subject, but rolfing definitely has to do with personal transformation. So I was talking to someone and I was reminded of a few years ago I had said to one of my clients during a session that I'd really love to take what I do, working with people one-on-one, to a much larger stage. And I used that word, and I was kind of pondering this whole journey over the past couple of years, and I was amazed because the universe seemed to take that quite literally. So, you know, someone who had never really performed on a stage before in the context of music, you know, now I'm doing that, so it's interesting. So I still work with people, I still have a practice over the last 7 months or so since going into the studio to record Homo Luminous. It's definitely taken off, so I'm kind of moving in that direction more and more.
Yes. So literally, you took that intention and said it out loud, and the universe took that literally, and there you are on the stage, which is interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So, I've heard people say many times, be careful what you wish for. And, right, I like it, just be conscious of what you wish for.
Yes,
so,
because spirit will take it literally, for sure, and run it and make it happen. So, yeah.
So
okay,
I think,
underpinning,
I was just going to say, so underpinning all of this is this you know, this guy who, you know, has spent most of my adult life in this domain. So I've always been interested in spirituality and transformation. And the album is really all about that. So these songs started, as you'd mentioned earlier, that I had been on this guitar. Now, I will say that I did have some idea of how to play, however, kind of like basic chords from when I was a teenager. But, you know, for 30-plus years, I hadn't played. And I still didn't really, wasn't a musician per se. I've always been musical. There's a big difference between being musical and being, you know, a technically, proficiently trained musician. So I was drawn to the guitar, and then I brought it home, and I started playing songs from songbooks. So I started piecing these together, and it was really fun, and I primarily played them for my kids before they went to bed. And everybody thought it was great. And after about 6 months of that, my wife had suggested, because our 10-year-old was about to have, he was about to turn 10, our son. And my wife said, honey, why don't you write a song for Dante? And I said, what? I said, I don't know how to write a song. And she said, yeah, you do. You're such a frustrated, you know, musician. You could do it. And so I did. The following weekend, I sat down and just kind of meditated on his birth, and boom, within a half an hour, this song came out. And I thought, this is amazing. This is wonderful. So I sang it for him on his birthday, and he cried, we cried, everybody thought it was great, and that was it. And I thought, well, that's that. That's an amazing thing. And I just kind of went on, and then our daughter, our little one, said, Daddy, will you write me a song? And so that's kind of how it started. And at the time, I had begun a path of studying shamanism, integrating shamanic energy medicine with my Rolfing practice. And that confluence of events just seemed to, everything dovetailed and just things started exploding. So while I was in session with clients, I would have almost fully downloaded chunks of songs that would come streaming in, and I would scramble later that day to try to figure out how to make those sounds on the guitar. And that process just kept happening. And so then in probably about a year's time, I had a body of about 20-some songs that had emerged. So
wow.
That's kind of how it began.
Yeah, it was almost like they were channeled. It's definitely, you know, what you're saying to me, that they came in big chunks. That's, you know, a sure sign that they're divinely inspired, for sure. So why don't we listen to the song you were talking about that you wrote for your son?
Perfect. That's
Splitting the Atom, was it?
Splitting the Atom, yes.
Yes. Okay, let's listen to that and see what that is like.
Great.
Love, and you just feel the passion in it. It just definitely feels like you've got your all in it, for sure.
Well, the music, thank you. The music came from a very pure place. I mean, this isn't about some guy that is having a midlife crisis and decided he wanted to be a pop star halfway through his life. I was telling my friends, I really feel a witness to the whole process. You know, several people have said, you must feel really proud of what you've done. And I've that's not the emotion that I really resonate with. I'm definitely in celebration. And even though I put in a lot of energy and work, it just, the whole thing manifested as a labor of love. And I'm overjoyed. It's an amazing thing to witness. And I think someone recently, this gal at the coffee shop who had heard some of it, she said, you know, I don't know a lot about music, and I can't even understand, you know, I haven't even heard all your lyrics, but she said, I just feel it right here, and she pointed to her heart, and I just said, that's just the highest compliment anyone could give. So if it moves anyone, then I think it's a miracle, so I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, before we go any further with your journey, I just wanted to mention your numbers. Because, of course, you know, me being a numerologist, I always analyze everyone's numbers. And so you talking about, you know, people mentioning that you're coming from a place of the heart, you know, it's very compassionate, your music is just, you know, soul-filled, right? Well, your date of birth, if you plot it on the birth chart, you've got no soul plane numbers. Now, what that means, it doesn't mean you don't have any soul. It's actually the opposite. It means you have very little soul protection. And so when someone has this on their birth chart, it's called the arrow of hypersensitivity. So missing all of the soul plane or feeling numbers means that you're hypersensitive to the point that, you know, you're very extremely loving, extremely, you know, heart-centered, you're, you know, easily hurt, things like that, but you're also very in tune with things like music, you know, anything that's heartfelt or heart-centered.
Thank you, Michelle. Hang on one second. I'm taking these notes down.
Okay. Oh, sure. And the other thing, your whole date of birth adds to a 10. Now, the 10 is the Earth Guide life path. So 10s are very much the doer energy. They're the pioneers. They're the ones that just do it already, right? But at the same time, because it has the 0 with the 1, it's a highly creative energy, and it's also a highly expressive energy, but because the 0 is there, there's always that spiritual component. There's always that just innate spiritual awareness. You're just very tuned in to the world of spirit, and at the same time, you're a doer. So you've got that whole physical aspect combined with the spiritual, and I guess you guide in the sense that you're an earth guide, but you do it from a practical perspective. You're the one that gets in the trenches with the people and puts your arm around them and say, you know, how can I help you? Right, you're not
yes.
going to preach from the mountaintop. You're going to be in there with the people, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even when I'm playing, I really don't feel I'm not really interested in performing. I'm interested in sharing what has come through, and so that's really the intent when I actually play the music.
And the other aspect, the final aspect I wanted to mention about your numbers was that you have 4 ones in your birth date. Now, the 1 is a verbal expressive energy because it's the number of verbal self-expression, but it's also a highly, highly creative energy. So with 4 ones, you're extremely creative, but you have a bit of a difficulty expressing your inner feelings through words. You have a better time expressing yourself through things like music, nonverbal means. So you really come out, you really shine through your music, because that's your preferred method of expression. You wouldn't be able to sit down, per se, with somebody and say, you know, have them ask you, how do you feel today, Chris? You know, how are you doing inside, right? If you kind of, you'd be all stumbly for words, but when it comes to the music, this is where you express yourself.
Perhaps. Those that know me would definitely put me in the hyperverbal category.
Oh,
so,
certainly. I mean, you could talk circles around people. You could talk the leg off a donkey, right? But
right.
when it comes to talking about you and your inward emotions and how you feel, then you're kind of a loss for words. But if you're talking about your story, if you're talking about, you know, just regular chit-chat, it's great, it's fine, but it's the personal things. This is where you express your most deepest, you know, inner feelings through your music.
Yep, that makes sense. I resonate with that.
Okay.
Well,
all right,
you.
So since you're welcome. You know, I always do the numbers of the people on the show just because that's my thing, right?
That's one of the, I'm just getting it. That's one of the perks of being a guest on your show.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so I guess it is a perk. So to continue on with your story, Chris, I mean, we stopped at the place where you're talking about creating the songs and just, you know, them having them pour out of you. So continue on with your story, and how did this evolve into the album? How did you, how did you get into the studio? All of those things.
What had happened, I was someone said, hey, well, why don't you, if you really want to do music, you should kind of learn a bunch of cover songs and kind of integrate your own songs. Because I thought, wow, it'd be great to play at coffee shops or, you know, just something as a hobby. And so I began to put together a set of cover songs. And this guitar player that I had been playing with suggested that we bring in a drummer. And he said, but you're going to have to pay this guy because he's a touring drummer and, you know, he's a seasoned musician. He's played with everybody you can shake a stick at. And I said, great, I'm more than happy to do it. So this man's name is Ray Weston, and he's been around. And so we were rehearsing, and he comes in, and we're playing a Pink Floyd song, and he's from Scotland, and so I like to impersonate Ray. And so he listens to us playing this song. He's like, oh, this is a great song. I haven't played this one in ages. So he starts playing with us, and in between songs, I was playing Move to Compassion, the song that you opened with, and he said, what's that? Who wrote that one? And so I kind of raised my finger, I did, and he wanted to hear it. And so that one thing led to another. So after that, he said, hey, that's a great little pop tune, man. And he said, do you have any more? And I said, yeah, I have a bunch of them. So he said, hey, guys, why don't we do more of these? And so the connection was made there. And afterwards, he said, you should make an album. And I said, and I thought, well, thanks. You know, one day I hope that comes true. I'd love to give these songs life somehow in some recorded fashion. And that was it. You know, the energy was struck. We had this simpatico between us, and that was it. Meanwhile, I was, in a couple weeks, I was heading out to the desert to do one of the Four Directions, the shamanic training that I have done with Alberto Vialdo and the Four Winds Society. That was unfolding, and at one of the classes, I always bring my guitar with me because I never know when something's going to come through. So I played a couple of songs for my classmates. There were about 110 people in this class. And it was the last day of the north, which is a direction, you know, the north direction. And it was three quarters of the way through the shaman training. And so a classmate comes up and says, I've never done this. This is really, I just have one question. Do you need backers? Because this music needs to get out there. And I looked at her and I just said, I think I do. So that's how it began.
Wow.
And so one thing led to another. I ended up playing several songs for she and her husband and in their living room. And then plans were, you know, I had to go and write a business plan and all this, and to actually create, you know, set the intention in the world how we would actually go about doing this. And so I then called Ray, and I said, Ray, remember a couple weeks ago you'd mentioned an album? It might be happening, so how'd you like to produce it? So that's how it started. And
wow.
We went into the studio on January 15th of this year and finished recording in May. And then between May and now, the album came out a couple weeks ago. It's just been the artwork. And so my friend Jason Sykes did an absolutely amazing job with the artwork and the design of the
Yes,
Home Illuminous
he did.
Project. And so now it's out in the world and ready for people to actually hear, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, so the website you're talking about is homoluminous.com.
Yes, it's homo-luminous.com.
Okay, yes.
One of our shaman colleagues already nabbed homoluminous.com with no hyphen. So it's homo,
okay.
Yes, it's homo-luminous.com.
Okay, and we, you know, we can go on there and buy your music and your record, all of that.
Yes, it's any form that anyone wants. They can either listen. I've made it free on it streams. The entire album streams on the website, so you could actually sit and listen to the whole record, And you, if there are a couple tunes that you like, you can download it on Amazon or iTunes. The actual, for those that really like the actual CD with the lyrics and everything, you can get that at iTunes and Amazon and CD Baby. So it's, and the website is easy to navigate, and it directs people. So however people want their music, a lot of people these days don't listen to whole or buy whole albums. I still do. I'm kind of old school, but so anything that moves someone is they're able to do from the website.
Yes, I took a look at it, and definitely, I mean, you've got all the links for Amazon, any avenues you want to purchase from, iTunes, and you just click on it, and it takes you to the link, and you can either buy the individual song or the whole CD, so it's very easy to do, and yeah, I mean, you can even look at the lyrics online. I did that, too, and I took a look at some of the words and what the song was all about.
I thought that with someone who is a complete unknown in the world of music, I just wanted people to be able to hear the whole thing and either like it or not. So you have a lot of latitude. I wanted to mention the name Homo Luminis, because I've had people, it's kind of an odd name for a record, but it literally means light man, and it came out of the shaman training. My teacher Alberto Vialdo is the person who coined the term, so I liked it. It just really had a deep resonance.
Yes, yeah, I think it's perfect. I mean, like that other lady you were talking about, I have no idea what it meant, but it just seemed to resonate with me. It seemed to, the name Homo Luminis seemed to be so in alignment with the shift in consciousness that we're going through now. It just struck a chord with me for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely relates to prophecy of, this shift, the Karo shamanic tradition that I've been involved with. They call it the Pachacuti, or it's definitely a shift that's happening. And I really believe we all can feel it. This economic, depression has, I think, it's hit a lot of people really, really hard. And I think one of the positive aspects of it is that it's really created a lot of consciousness. People are really, really forced. People that haven't been forced to contemplate these things are.
Yes. Yeah, when you take away all the materialistic things, there's nothing left but to focus on that inner. So I think it was really necessary to have this, the recession and all of that, for sure. It's kind of an eye-opener. Okay, so maybe we should talk about a little bit how we met, too. I mean, that was definitely synchronistic as well, for sure. I mean, we kind of met just by chance as well. Was it Eric Rankin, I do believe? He's going to be a guest on the show as well. He had posted something on my Facebook wall, and I normally never, ever look at things that people post on the wall, because there's so many things that, it's just overwhelming. Every new friend you add, they post something, and, the list goes on and on. And so I saw the post from Eric, and I gave it a once-over glance, and I said, oh, that's nice, and, carried on about my business, got sidetracked, and then about a week later, it just popped into my mind, I really got to check out that post that Eric had posted on my website, or on my Facebook page. So I scrolled down through page upon page of posts to try to find your link again, and there it was, and I clicked on it, and right away I knew I had to have you on the show. I just, it just totally, resonated with me. Just everything about it just seemed to scream, you have to have him on the show before Ellen picks him up. And I just kept thinking this was big, and I needed to have you on, not just to be egotistical and say, I need to have you on before you get big and, I got to be the first, but I just felt like I needed to share your story, as soon as possible, and I know that you're going to be going places with this, so I really wanted to, get you going. I have this platform, and I can bring people on, so why not, right, bring you on get the ball rolling and share your story to as many people as I can.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm in deep gratitude about that, and yes, Eric was the connection, and his book is pretty amazing, so it's actually a nice opportunity to kind of promote his appearance on your show. There's another connection with Eric. Eric is also a musician, and he has played percussion just he and I doing some of these songs in a couple of small venues. So this is before I had gone in and recorded the album. So it's a very small world. And on that note, you'd mentioned Ellen, which when I heard you say that, I laughed and I thought that's so beautiful because one of the songs on the album, which I did not give you the song to actually play. However, it's a song called "Love Is Never Not Beautiful," and which is kind of an odd sounding title because of the double negative. But Ellen is right in the middle of that story because my family and I were on our way to Hawaii in the spring, and I nabbed my wife's People magazine, and I tease her about having these fluffy magazines, and I'm completely guilty of swiping them all the time. So I was on the airplane reading the story about Ellen's wedding, and they showed pictures and the whole article of Ellen and Portia's wedding. And I was completely, I was choked up. I'm completely moved by this story. And I leaned over to my wife and I said, yeah, I mean, this is an amazing story. And I got up to move around and came back and the words, you know, love is never not beautiful. And boom, I knew I had the lyrics to this particular song that was coming through. So Ellen may never know that, but she definitely had something to do with the naming of that tune.
Well, weren't you mentioning as well, someone said, also told you this was going to be big? So I found that very fascinating that I just had this overwhelming sense that it was going to be big. And you know, of course, you know, those intuitions, you never know why or how, but you just know, right? And you had, have you had this feeling with you as well that this is going to be big? Or are you still not certain as to where it's going? Or do you have the bigness feeling with you?
Well, I definitely feel that it's big to me. So
yes, of course. Of course.
You know, and so I think that there's a lot of energy that's behind this music. Even if people don't like the music, there is something that is carrying this project that transcends some guy's ego. You know,
yes.
Like I mentioned before, it's not about, and it kind of sounds it. You know, I'm not sure how it sounds to the average person, but, you know, if I was picking up a CD and I saw some guy's name that I had no clue who he was, there would be part of me that's like, who the heck is this, you know? But I might look into it. And so I don't know whether I feel that big things are happening on planet Earth, so.
Yes. Yeah, well, I just can't shake the feeling that it's going to be big, and I just feel, you know, with every fiber in my being that this... Oh, goodness. Oh, are you still there, Chris? Oh, goodness. I think we lost Chris. All right, so we'll just keep talking here until Chris comes back on. I think we might have lost Chris somehow. We're halfway across the continent from each other, so he's in California, and of course I'm in New Brunswick, Canada, so we're quite a distance away, so hopefully he'll call back in. In the meantime, maybe we'll just play another song of his and listen in to that. We're going to play Shake Out Your Pockets, which is another song off of Homo Luminous.
Shake out your pockets. Oh, blame. So here we are, father to father. I still don't understand. You couldn't say how much that I matter. So you chose to fold your hands.
Are you on? Are you there?
I am back. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, I'm not
okay,
sure what
good.
Happened there, but we
the line. Well, I'm all the way on the West Coast, and You're on the East Coast. So somewhere, something happened. I'm not sure if Mercury is in retrograde or not.
Yes. Well, that's what I was telling the listeners, that, you know, we're on opposite sides of the continent, so, you know, it's connection is hit or miss for sure. Okay, so
exactly.
I played your other song, Shake Out Your Pockets, while we were waiting for you to get back on, so I'm not sure if you wanted to play that at a different spot in the show, but I had to do
not
something.
At all. Shake Out Your Pockets is, did you want to hear a little bit about how the
yes,
genesis
please.
Of that?
Yes.
It's interesting because the entire album had been recorded, not mastered, and there was a song titled Homoluminous, and it was unlike all of the other songs. It almost sounded like The Clash, for those that know The Clash. So it was much, much different. And so what happened was, here we are wrapping this thing up, and this new song comes in. And I said to Ray, I have a new song. And he's like, we can't do it. We've got too many songs. We've got so many songs. And so I said, I really feel that Shake Out Your Pockets needs to be on the record. So I'm willing to pull this one. And so he said, all right, well, you've got one day. You sit down, you show us. So I basically played the song for the band, and we recorded everything, the vocal, everything in one recording session. And the reason I wanted the song is because it had elements of reincarnation, and I had wondered when a song relating to fathers and sons and my own father energetically would show up, and Shake Out Your Pockets was definitely that song. The idea of the first image that came through was that coming back into another incarnation, and before they do that, they turn you upside down and shake out your pockets, you know, of all the accumulated garbage that you karma or whatever that you'd had, and so I was just kind of playing with that imagery, and the song came out of that.
Wow, I just love how all of them are so inspired. You know, they're not your typical write a song about life. They're so much more than that. They're just such spiritual depth to all of them. It's just beautiful.
Thank you. I think that had I pursued music when I was younger, I don't think I would have had that much. I'm not sure what I would have had to say. All I know is that at this point, a lot is coming through. You know, and the things that I'm really interested are just, it's about connection and being present, and with whether it's with my own children or my wife or friends or anyone, and so there's definitely more appreciation for that at this point in my life, and if that comes through the music, then I'm happy.
Yes, and it's all about timing. I mean, you were saying if you were a musician or musically inclined as a child, you know, it wouldn't have worked out. It's all about the timing, and the timing was just right when you did all of this. You know, it just came to you, and it all flowed together so beautifully.
Yeah, I think that it's important, and maybe your listeners can relate. I think that there was always that love of music, and, you know, classic, you know, singing in the shower, in the car, and I always had an ear for music and a love of music. I collected records and saved up, you know, to go to concerts, and that's really what I did, although I never really pursued playing music or studying it. You know, I took more of a practical, you know, those voices were kind of, or that desire was kind of quelled. You know, I allowed it to be shut down, and what ended up happening was that propensity, that love of it just kind of came through as other things in my life, other avenues were being cracked open by the various processes that I was involved in. I think the shaman training, that experience of opening up to that luminous field really, really created it created a shift.
Yes. you know, it's interesting you're saying you've always had a love of music, because in my workshops I teach, you know, about finding your purpose, and I always say that your purpose is always hidden within those simple joys, those things that you really love to do. And, you know, some people look at their simple joys and say, well, I like to play with my kids or my grandkids. How can that be my purpose? Well, it may not be your purpose, but hidden within that joy or something related to that joy is, you know, part of your path. So for you, you know, that love of music that you've always had on the side, you know, that was almost like a glimmer of your purpose that was to come.
Yes, exactly. And that all of that, that internal kind of discography, that body of music that I've loved and it's been a part of me, it's no accident that, you know, the album kind of has bits and pieces of that, because that's kind of what erupted from my unconscious. It's, you know, so it definitely, people have analyzed the music and said, well, it has kind of a 70s kind of poppy, you know, there are all kinds of, you know, people will have, you know, a reaction to the actual music as well. And it's just kind of hard to pin down. I couldn't believe that a couple of the songs had come through, because I wasn't really interested in that style of music, and yet there it is. So, you know, there's one song, Foolish Notions, that is very, very different. Although I like it, I was completely shocked that that particular song had come through, because it's stylistically, it's a lot different, and it's really not a folk-based pop song. It's something else.
Yes.
Got a little
more
R&B. So.
Okay, why don't we listen to that? I mean, now that you're talking about it, and that's one of the songs that we're going to play, so definitely let's give that a listen.
Great, sounds good.
Foolish notions in my head, take me places there.
That's a really good one. I like the different style. I really love it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You can definitely move your body to that one, and so that's nice. Our daughter, our youngest, liked that one immediately, and when she heard it, because all of these songs I just play on the acoustic guitar when they first come through, and I play them for my family first usually. So what do you think of this? And so. That's kind of how it starts out. You're hearing I wanted to mention the background singers, which is to me it was a miracle. The person that you had alluded to before that said that he saw it being huge was one of my was actually my shaman who introduced me to this whole thing. He had come to stay with us. He got out of his car and he has this beaming smile from ear to ear. His name's John Rasmussen, and John says, "I saw your album in Dreamtime, and it's going to be huge." And I didn't quite know what to do with that. I just smiled and said, "That's great." And I hadn't even gone into the studio to record an album at that point. And so I was telling him. He said, "Well, so what are you wanting to? What are some of the sounds that you're wanting?" And I'd mentioned, you know, this one song, it's kind of like David Gilmour and Pink Floyd-y and that type of thing. So we were getting into that. And he said, "Wow," he said, "I'm friends with this woman named Durga." And I said, "Wait a second, her name's Durga?" I said, any woman named Durga, I would love to meet. And so Durga McBroom is her name. And she has toured with Pink Floyd and many, many others. She's an amazing... I mean, these musicians are in another league. And so right away he said, "Well, let me contact her." And so she said, "Well, send me a couple of the tracks." She listened to them and contacted me and said, "I'd be happy to. I really like this." And so it ended up happening. She came down from Big Sur. She and her sister, who is touring with Rod Stewart now, and his toured with the Rolling Stones, and I'm at this point, I am almost ready to faint because I can't believe what's unfolding. So they come down and they sang backup vocals on 10 of the tracks on the album, and
wow.
It was just an extreme honor to have them on the record. And they really, really shape a lot of the sound. And as I know that the outro song that we have for your show today is definitely going to feature Durga and Lorelei. So I'm excited about that. But that again is another example of how every person involved in this project was just it just kind of showed up in a miraculous way.
Yeah, it's amazing. I, you know, it reminds me so much of my own story lately, that just all these synchronistic events, and you know, it's beyond my control and it's bigger than me, but it's just, I'm just in awe. And this is, you know, I totally resonate with your story because it's just, it's unfolding as mine is, and it's, you know, I guess I feel a kinship towards you for sure, because
definitely, I do. Your story, when I heard a little of yours, I thought, this is perfect. This is perfect.
Yeah. Well, it's just so neat to sit back and watch it all unfold when you finally align with purpose, and it just seems to flow like magic. It's just so wonderful. It's just, you know, I've been on this cloud nine for the past several months because it's just so humbling, and I'm just walking around in awe. It's just so amazing. And I'm sure you're feeling the same thing, and you know, just in awe of the whole process because it's just so beautiful. But yeah, so I'm going to just put out there to the callers. We're going to take maybe a caller or two before we end the show. So if you'd like to call in and maybe comment or ask Chris a question or anything at all, the call-in number is 1-877-296-0345. So give us a call if you'd like to, you know, say something to Chris or ask a question at all. Just give us a ring. So go ahead, Chris. What were you saying?
I'm not sure what I was saying. I thought I might have finished the thought. Oh, you'd asked me if I was amazed or some wonderful adjective.
Yes.
I'm walking around in a state of euphoria most of the time.
Exactly.
Oh, but yeah, the thought that I had was, and I'm not sure if Woody Allen said this or not, but you know, showing up is half of it. And I think it's more than half of it. So I'm just kind of showing up, and things are really happening. So.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, I mean, you can't beat it when you're finally, you know, you finally figured out what it is you're supposed to be doing in this life. You know, you can't beat it. It's the best thing ever. And to be able to share it with everyone else, I mean, that's, you know, the best part of the whole process, right?
Exactly. And I think that so sharing it with everyone else reminds me of I had heard from someone in the music industry was commenting on the name of the album, and he was just making sure, are you sure you want to name this Homoluminous? A lot of people aren't going to know what that means. And I think for a very short time I thought, maybe he's right. And then I thought, no. The name came through. It really speaks of our next evolution as a you know, as humans, this next step of consciousness. And even though a lot of people won't know what that means or will confuse the name, you know, I think that I couldn't really be swayed by that. It had to come through the way that I'd heard it. And so every aspect of this this album has a story.
Yes, yeah, it's so beautiful how it's all flown together for sure, or flowed together. Sorry. So, is there anything else you'd like to mention about this whole journey or about the album? Anything at all?
Oh, I think no, not really. I think that we've pretty much covered the bases. I'm excited that Homoluminous is out, and it's you know, there's a lot there, and I think that it speaks to pretty much everything I'm interested in, and it'll be nice to see who resonates with it, and your show, this opportunity was fantastic, so I'm really glad that you had me on the show. And at this point, it's kind of about, I'm looking forward to actually going back in the studio to record some more songs. So
yes.
And then what we'll do is we're going to be playing. We're going to be probably putting together a tour of sorts to support the Homo Luminous album, and then I think people will start to actually see how the songs translate live. One of the intentions with Homo Luminous is to actually have some of the Caro Indians on stage with us doing their despachos during shows, and I think that really illustrates. For me, that's even more important than the music. It's the energy that these beings embody. They're like little Dalai Lamas, and when you're around them, they're so peaceful. I mean, they're earth keepers, and this music really does celebrate and is linked to that lineage, that tradition. Even though it's not native, you know, doesn't sound like shamanic music. But it's still linked to that. And so I think that hearing the music live and being part of kind of a celebration, a group energetic, I think will take the music to another level. That actually can be more important than the recorded sound. So we'll see what unfolds. I'm ready and willing.
Yes. So I know that you're open to how things are going to flow, but do you have, I guess, an overall vision of how you see this transforming or how you see this, unfolding? Do you have any kind of, intuitive vision of how this will go, or you're just kind of...
Well, I see the music actually being played in large gatherings with Caro shamans on stage. You know, it's almost like going to see the Dalai Lama when you're around them in a way. And what they embody is exactly what the music is really pointing to. It's just so that really is probably the biggest vision that has come out of this project. That's a huge vision compared to playing in a coffee shop. So I'm happy with that vision right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not an unrealistic vision. And if that's the vision that you're holding, that's what you're going to manifest. Just like the beginning intention that you set, that you wanted to bring this to a larger stage, and there you were, right? So definitely,
exactly.
I mean, if you've got that intention, yeah, I mean, it's highly possible. You know, I'm one to believe that anything is possible. I really do believe that we can have anything that we want in this lifetime. And I think that has a lot to do with why I'm manifesting the things that I'm manifesting now for myself, is because I do believe that. And it's almost like a naive belief, but I think it's working in my favor to be that naive.
Well, yeah, and your show is about practical spirituality. That was one of the, those words really kind of inducted me. Because it's really important to have a practicality to it, and we're all, you know, influence. We all have people that we bump into, and you know, it all boils down, in my opinion, to how we treat, you know, whomever we're in relationship with, whether it be a checkout clerk or, you know, anyone. So.
Yes, and I think, you know, the practical aspects that I'm trying to get at with the show is that, you know, we are humans in a physical body, so we can't forget that part. I mean, we can't be meditating atop a mountain all day and expect to grow spiritually. I mean, you can meditate and, you know, achieve that depth of spirituality during the meditation, but we still have to go about our day-to-day life. We still have to, you know, interact with our fellow human beings. And so I guess for me, I approach spirituality from a very practical perspective, and that's how I've always been. You know, I take things, you know, at a very practical level. That's just who I am, and so spirituality is no different, you know.
The Caro had a saying that you need to be able to grow corn. So that's really, that's very practical. You know, in our culture, we have words like transformation, and you know, they're all kind of the genesis of those words, it's an extension of our kind of scientific mind and all of the different, you know, the dream of the civilized world. And when you listen to indigenous people, they're always talking about seeds and growing, and they're all very organic terms. And so they have an inherently pragmatic aspect to their spirituality. So I think we can all, in our culture, we can definitely be influenced by that. You know, in our world, if you're walking around belly laughing, people will think you're insane. And you know, the indigenous cultures that I've actually been with, that's part of what they do. They laugh. They actually feel things on a very deep level. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people are ready for this kind of music. They're ready for, you know, feeling again, because we've gone through this numb period where we've gone through this financial crisis. We've been knocked off our high horse. We've been, you know, flat on our butt, right? We're in a tailspin. And so people are approaching spirituality now from the practical perspective, and, you know, music is very physical in the sense that you feel it with your body. You know, it's a very practical way to transcend and to get into that spiritual, you know, spiritual part of ourselves. You know, music can be that bridge.
Yes, exactly. And what's interesting to me are the spaces in between the notes, which, you know, space, you know, just rests. And, you know, we're very overstimulated as a culture. And I think that people listening just musically to the album, there are many places in the melodies where there's a lot of space. So that didn't come consciously, you know, by design. It just kind of showed up. So.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you, Chris, for being on the show. We didn't get any callers tonight, but that's okay. We're just, you know, a new show, just building. So definitely maybe next time we have you on, we'll have lots of callers. I'm sure people will be amazed, you know, hearing your story, and they're probably just blown away with all the synchronicity. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to segue you out, and I'm going to introduce the next show, and then I'm going to play your clip at the end. So I just want to thank you, and it was a pleasure to have
Michelle.
You on.
Thank you.
And I look forward to our continued connection for sure. I definitely want to keep in touch with you.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome. All right, so our next guest next week, next Thursday, is going to be Laverne Stewart. Laverne is a good friend of mine, actually, and she is also a CTV News veteran. She was with CTV News for 11 years, and she's also a feature writer for the Daily Gleaner here in Fredericton. So her story is very synchronistic as well. She went from being a hard-nosed reporter to now having a book upcoming called Angels in the Afterlife. So she, you know, she wasn't spiritual at all, and she's gone through this beautiful transformational shift into her spiritual self and, you know, finding who she really is, and it's a very beautiful story as well. So definitely you'll have to tune in next week to hear Laverne's story and hear about her upcoming book. So I'd like to segue out with Chris's song, Who You Really Are, and this is the song that he was mentioning, had the singers in it, so I hope you listen closely, because I think it's going to be yet another beautiful tune. So I hope you can join us next week, and thank you so much for listening. Good night.